Welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And we're also with you on Rogers 97.9. We're streaming live on the internet at chinradio.com, and you can also pick this up on my website at thegaelichour.ca. In addition, our Monday night programs are archived going back to 2005, and that is at the Gaelic Hour if you go on that website and hit the archives button. We also put up there a list of the tunes that we play here, and that's on the playlist. So that gets a lot of hits. Website, thegaelichour.ca, hit the playlist button. And there's a calendar up there, and the calendar lists some of the items that are going on in the city. What I know earlier on today, there was an event going on down at the Labour, down at the Celtic Cross, and I'll talk about that because it's an important one. I'll just fill you in on some of what was going on. But on Wednesday night, down at the Heart and Crown, Neil Emberg will be down there, and on Thursday night, it is Barry Williams. And Friday, Barry Williams is also down there. And I want to express my gratitude to the ongoing support I received from the Irish Village. Without their support and help, I would not be able to continue broadcasting. And likewise, the Sackville Corporation and the Embassy of Ireland. Tonight's programme, we want to dedicate to the late Tommy Makem. Tommy Makem died just late last week. And Tommy was certainly an icon in Irish music and had entertained for many, many years, probably at least 50 years from the time that he emigrated from Ireland to the US. And he and the Clancy brothers became synonymous with Irish music. Tommy died last week. And you may recall last year, Tommy was here in town down at the Heart and Crown, and I had the opportunity to do an interview with him. And at the second half of the program tonight, we will be replaying that interview that was with Tommy. I think at that stage he was showing his age, and he was certainly showing that he wasn't as well as we would have liked to have seen him. And our deepest sympathies again. Without further ado, we are actually going to continue tonight with the Irish lessons that we have been running on the Monday nights. And I'm getting good feedback on this. People are telling me that they're actually enjoying it. So I hope that maybe you're picking something up and maybe you're learning. And we will continue on with the lessons. I think we're at lesson 10 tonight. There's two more to go on to lesson 12. And then we're actually going to start another series. So this is Limón Muin Lae and Everyday Irish.
Tiarits, my name is Limón Muin Lae. Everyday Irish refers to useful, common expressions that can be used in the normal conversations you might have with your family or friends, and covers topics like hobbies, style, nature, and the world around you. When you are learning how to speak Irish from this course, there are no books required. The featured words and phrases are also easy to learn. I will speak the phrase in English, and then I'll say the same thing in Irish. After that, there'll be a pause for you to practice saying the words in Irish yourself. I will then go on to the next phrase. So now, sit back and prepare to learn or relearn those Irish language expressions that you can then use in your everyday life. Let's begin. Lesson 10. Style and appearance. In this lesson, we will look at style and fashion. Listen and repeat. This season, red is the new black. An séú seo sé dera an dómh úr. Hemlines are up this spring. Tá fáhíí ag gáardú an tarach seo. I love watching the models on the catwalk. Is breolium bheith a féchaint ar na manicíní ar an gut chosán. The hippies are still in their flares. Tá na hippies fós ag caitheamh na flares. They all wear skinny black jeans. Caitheann siad ilig na jeans caol a dubha. Retro clothing looks great and saves me a fortune. Féchan éadaí ar an tan stíl íontach agus sábháilann siad rachamas dom. Now listen to these phrases again. Now, clothing. Listen and repeat. She has 100 pairs of shoes. Tá céad pair bróga aici. I still love my old desert boots. Is breolium fós ma hanavúta sí fósig. Young men don't tuck in their shirts. Ní ilin fir óga isteach na léinte. Every woman can look good in a black dress. Is féidir le gach bán féchaint go breá in múna dubh. Men don't wear hats anymore. Ní chaitheann fir hataí a hile. Now try saying, she has 100 pairs of boots. Tá céad péire búta sí aici. I still love my old shirts. Okay, you should have said something like, is breolium fós ma han léinte. Now some phrases around appearance. Listen and repeat. I bet you look good on the dance floor. Cuirim gaol go bhfeichan tú go breá ar urlár an dausa. That child is very fat. He needs more exercise. Tán páiste sin an ráir, tástaíon a hile a chlíochta uig. The tall, elegant woman silenced the room when she walked in. Húnig an bhean ard rástóil, gach a raibh sa seomra, nor a húil sí isteach. Is the ugly duckling a suitable fairy tale for our children? An bhfuil an téanaíon lachan grána, irúnach mar íonscéal dar gcuid páistí. She has a matronly figure and a jolly face. Tá teagar ina cullain agus suircas ina haig. He was as skinny as a rake with a face that would cool soup. Bhí sé chócaol le réike agus drochnóisir. The short fat bald guy dating the supermodel. What's that about? An buc beag maol ag siúl amach le réalt bhainicín. Go bhfuil scéal ansin. Now listen to these phrases and try to guess what they mean. Bhí an fear ard chó caol le réike. That's right. The tall guy was as skinny as a rake. Now try. Is ban ard a rostúil í an réalt bhainicín. Correct. The supermodel is a tall, elegant woman. Now let's talk about clothes. Listen and repeat. I wear a size 42 shoe, and they never have them in the sales. Cahim broga hoish a dahadado, agus nivin shidriavaka ins na sladwarigi. Large t-shirts are never as loose as you want them to be. Nivin na t-lein to moor a riav ho skilte agus walat iad ave. She is a size 12, but can squeeze into a 10 for special occasions. Tán si hóis a dó dhéag, achas féidir le tánaisteach a dós a dé dó cáidí speisialta. I wear baggy jeans with a 36-inch inside leg. Caham si jeans leata le fad trocha sé orlaigs na cosa. Can you alter this dress for me? An féidir leat athrú a chur an gúna seo dom. Looking good is all about accessorizing successfully. Tá an dea éachaint ag brag a homlán na hiriúintí cuí. Now you try saying, can you squeeze into a size 12? An féidir leat tamáis teach a dós a dó dhéag. They never have baggy jeans in the sales. Good, you should have said something like, ní bhíon jeans leata riamh acu ins na sladwarigí. Now try some compliments between old friends. Listen and repeat. Your hair looks great. Have you been to the hairdresser? Gáinne an dhruig go hálain. An rotoig an ruigire. Yes, thank you. You're looking really well, too. Fi, gur mahagas. Hantu féin a féchint anawa freshin. Oh, you're too kind. Now that little Lorcan is sleeping through the night, the black rings are finally disappearing from under my eyes. Oh, tantu rochinasta. Inish o ta Lorcan belga kulla fanna hihe. Tá na fáiní doracha faoima chuid súil ag imeacht. You're lucky. I got wrinkles that I never lost from exhaustion when the kids were young. Tá an táileat. Tháinig ric ná ruigeach i maig hain de bhór tuise nuair a bhí na páistí óg. Poor you. Hey, you're dressed up to the nines tonight. Are you off somewhere special? Ich rät tuir wacht. Hey, tantu bard lästa nacht, u tu dollen en ait specialte. Pat's taking me to a French restaurant in town. It's our 10th wedding anniversary. Ta Pat dum hort chig bielen raunkuch, so weile mor, she ar dehu kohrum lay posta hei. Congratulations. Pat was always such a handsome man. You treat him good now. Go gordachas, far on dahoil a via bat riaf. Toir ar a wago anish. Well done. You have now completed lesson 10. Let's now conclude the chapter by recapping on some of the new words covered. Girlfriend, Kailin. Living together, ag marachtaint le chéile. Veggie cafe, bialan glasri. Kissed, fog, fell in love, hit in raw. Couple, lá nuin. Intimate, dlú. Physical, physicule. Gorgeous, even, in the dust, Sacharn Ilig. I chatted her up, Wulme Bledirhe. Settle down, Ig socrúisíos. Flirting. Ig cliúsaíocht. Caught my eye. Hug me fé nera. Dance floor. Urlár dausa. We clicked. Rinimar tangawail lairach. Divorced. Cold scarha. Custody. Kurum. Visiting rights. Carta cuirte. Separated. Scarha. Annulment. Navnu. Hemlines. Fahini. Models. Manikini. Catwalk. Kat Hossam. Flares. Spray Vriste. Skinny black jeans. Jeans Koila Duva. Retro. Shanstiel. Shoes. Broga. Boots. Butashi. Shirts. Lente. Dress. Guna. Hats. Hati. Fat. Rower. Exercise. Akliacht. Elegant. Cross doel. Ugly. Grana. Matronly. Teagruch. Jolly. Suishkuch. Skinny as a rake. Ho quail le rake. Face that would cool soup. Droch hunoish. Bald. Mile. Wrinkles. Rick. Wedding anniversary. Cotrum lay posta. Guy. Far. Supermodel. Jailt Wanikin. Size. Toish. The sales. Naslad Warigi. Baggy jeans. Jeans Lata. Special occasions. Okaji Specialta. Altar. Aru. Accessorizing. Ag cuir uirúntí le. Hairdresser. Grúigire. Congratulations. Go ardachas.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton, and that was lesson number 10 in our Irish series. We're going to continue with Tommy Makem, and in this little piece, Tommy, he recites Raglan Road rather than sings Raglan Road, and it's a lovely rendition, and he then moves on and sings Gentle Annie. And I think you'll get a sense of the versatility of the man when you listen to this.
Ireland has a great, great heritage that we have to celebrate, and we have all kinds of songs and music and poetry, and the poetry and songs go very much hand in hand. They always have, and I suppose they always will. They sort of nurture each other. A man called Patrick Kavanagh left the stony fields of Monaghan, and he went off to Dublin as a young man to seek fame and fortune as a poet. And he went out one day on a lovely, sunny autumn afternoon. He went out for a walk on one of those big tree-lined avenues on the south side of the city of Dublin. And he saw a beautiful girl walking along the far side of the road. And Kavanagh fell madly in love with her, they say. They also say that he stayed in love with her for most of his life. He wrote a wonderful poem for her and to her and at her and about her. The poem has been used very widely as a song these days, but I sort of remember it fondly as Kavanagh had written it for the girl. He said, "On Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first, and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger, Yet I walked along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, I tripped lightly along the ledge of the deep ravine, where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge, the queen of hearts still baking tarts, and I not making hay. I love too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind. I gave her the secret sign that's known to the true gods of wood and stone and word and tint. I did not stint. I gave her poems to say, with her own name there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields in May. A quiet street where all ghosts meet. I see her walking now, away from me so hurriedly that reason must allow that I had loved not as I should, a creature made of clay. If an angel wooed the clay, he'd lose his wings at the dawn of day. Fair and lovely Annie, your gentle ways have won me. You bring peace and joy and laughter everywhere. Where you go, the sunshine follows. You're a breath of spring in winter, and my heart and soul are always in your care. If you know it, you could help me to sing it. Gentle Annie, gentle Annie, and my heart and soul are always in your care. When you touch me with your fingers, my cares and worries vanish like the morning dew before the rising sun. When your eyes tell me you love me, then my soul is filled with wonder, and my love for you will live when life is done. Gentle Annie, gentle Annie, and my love for you will live when life is done. You're the flower among the flowers, you're the bird song in the morning, you're the laughter of the children at their play. You're my hope and joy and wisdom. You're my reason just for living. You're my treasure. You're my very night and day. Gentle Annie, gentle Annie, you're my treasure, you're my very night and day. When the mountains all come tumbling, and the earth has stopped its turning, when the winds don't blow and stars refuse to shine, when the moon has left and the seven seas are empty, I will still have gentle Annie on my mind. Gentle Annie, gentle Annie, I will still have gentle Annie on my mind. Gentle Annie, I will still have gentle Annie on my mind.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton, and we will be back with you after these messages.
The little Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Hart and Crown, a second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, Black Rose, since 2001. They complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes. Private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674.
The Adelaide is a distinctive one- and two-bedroom rental apartment complex located at Preston Square. The Adelaide is exactly where you want to be, close to downtown, easy access to the Queensway and just a short journey to the airport. A short walk from Dowes Lake and the experimental farm, you can experience rural living in the heart of the city. The Adelaide is a smart building incorporating state-of-the-art security and environmental systems. Call for an appointment, weekday, nighttime and weekend viewings. 613-230-1500.
Discover the Orient through CRI,
China Radio International.
China Radio International provides one full hour of the latest news, current affairs, and features on politics, economy, culture, tourism, science, and technology, all in English. Satisfy your curiosity on the Eastern world. Tune in to CRI 7 nights a week from 6 to 7 p.m. on CJLL, your multicultural radio station, Chin Radio 97.9.
It's ideally situated in Toronto's famous entertainment district. It features 248 spacious and stylish guest rooms. And it's the only four-diamond hotel located in a major league sports and entertainment venue. It's the Renaissance Toronto Hotel downtown at Rogers Center. Whether you're looking for the perfect getaway or the ideal setting for a business meeting, the solution is the Renaissance Toronto Hotel downtown at Rogers Center. Call now and ask for the summer event rate. 416-341-5013.
Tune in to the Gaelic Hour, Chin 97.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, we're now going to replay the interview with Tommy Makem that we recorded down at the Hart and Crown last May. And the sound quality on this is not quite up to studio standards because we were in a small room after a performance. It was about 11:30 at night. And not the ideal of conditions, but you will get a sense of the man, which I think is more important.
In the year of our Lord 1806, we set sail from the coal quay of Cork. And we were sailing away with the cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. Well, we'd an elegant craft, it was rigged fore and aft. And how the trade winds drove, for she had 23 masts, and she stood several blasts, and they called her the Irish Rover. Well, there was Barney McGee from the banks of the Lee, there was Hogan from County Tyrone, and there was Johnny McGurk, who was scared stiff of work, and a chap from Westmeath named Malone. Well, there was Slugger O'Toole, who was drunk as a rule, and fighting Bill Tracy from Dover, and your man Mick McCann from the banks of the Ban, was the skipper on the Irish Rover. Now we had 1 million bags of the best Sligo rags, we had 2 million barrels of bone, and we had 3 million bales of all nanny goat's tails, we had 4 million barrels of stone. And we had 5 million hogs, and 6 million dogs, and 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million sights of all blind horses' hides in the hold of the Irish Rover. Now we had sailed 7 years when the mazes broke out, and the ship lost her way in the fog.
Big fog!
And the whale of the crew was reduced down to two, with myself and the captain's old dog. Well, then the ship's struck a rock, oh Lord, what a shock, and nearly tumbled over, turned 9 times around, and the poor old dog was drowned. Hey! The last of the Irish Rover.
Tommy Makem, welcome to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9. Thank you for coming on to talk.
My pleasure, Austin, to be here.
Tommy, you were greatly influenced by your mum and the your background and all the family in the north, weaving and all that kind of stuff. Can you tell a little bit about how your mother, first of all, influenced your music? Because I know she was a major influence.
My mother was internationally known as a source singer, they're called, in the business. She had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs, but she wouldn't have known a folk song if she tripped over it. She just had all hundreds of them in her head. But you're as likely to hear her singing something she heard on the radio last week, or a 28-verse version of Barbara Allen.
But and that was in a time where songs, people went to each other's houses, people shared music with each other by meeting and singing.
Well, I think my mother got some songs from my grandmother. But they all got songs out of the middle, where they worked at the linen trade. They were weavers. And my mother once told me that if anyone ever brought a new song into the mill, it was like a gift, a Christmas present for everyone in the mill, because everyone in it would learn the songs. And I think they all sang constantly as sort of self-protection. Because of the noise of the looms and the machinery, they sang back at them so they wouldn't go deaf, I suppose.
Probably in time with them, even.
Probably could have been in time with as well. There was a man came around collecting folk songs. His name is Peter Kennedy. He's from England. Not the fact Peter Kennedy's father started the English Folk Song and Dance Society, which is still going in London. But Peter Kennedy came around, he was collecting Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, and a man called Sean O'Boyle, who was a musicologist and a Gaelic scholar, lived in Armagh, taught at St. Patrick's College in Armagh, and he brought him to my mother, because he knew my mother had all these songs, and they came and they must have stayed a fortnight there every day, recording every evening. And all the neighbors would gather and they'd play fiddles and they'd play pipes and accordions and whistles and they would sing lilt. So we spent a lot of time there. I got a lot of songs from my mother. And I was fascinated by these people from England. And then later on, people from America came to collect songs from her. People like Gene Ritchie and Pete Seeger and Deanna Hamilton. And but Peter Kennedy took his tapes way back, and he went and talked to the BBC, and the BBC decided to do a folk music program, the first I had ever heard of, a folk music program on BBC World Service every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and they used a fragment of a song that my mother sang for them called As I Roved Out. She only had two verses to it in the chorus, but they used that as a signature tune for this folk program, which went out every Sunday morning on BBC World Service. So she was heard all over the world. Then I began to get very interested, because I knew a lot of the songs. Didn't have to sit down to learn them. She sang incessantly at home, so you didn't have to sit down to learn a song. It was already there, and you didn't have to search for verses. They came. So we learned a lot of, all of us in the family, learned a lot of music from her, a lot of songs. And then she told me that in the evenings, when she was young, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night in a summer evening, a bunch of them would gather down the street from where we lived. There was a little wall and a garden sort of behind it. And the older men would meet there and sit and smoke their pipes and discuss everything from the monks in Tibet to growing flax or pulling flax or whatever. they would have authorities on everything, on World War One. But the young people would gather at the wall in the evenings, and they would dance. They would do the sets. They would do all kinds of dances. Sometimes they'd have a fiddle player. Sometimes they might have a whistle, tin whistle player. Sometimes somebody with a jew's harp. And if there was nobody there, they would lilt. If there was no musician there, they would lilt, but they would all dance on the summer evenings.
So your memories go back to that type of an experience also?
Yes, indeed. And my father, there was all the music about our house. My father played the fiddle. And I had a brother, Jack, and I had three sisters and myself. And my father played the fiddle. My brother, Jack, played the fiddle. And he taught me to play the whistle. And both of us played the bagpipes in the local pipe band. My father was the bass drummer in the band. But Jack, the brother Jack, when he was a lad, never a lad, going to school, he was the eldest in the family, I was the youngest. When he was going to the brother's school, like he'd have been in second or third, first or second grade, and there was a brother Gildas there, the De La Salle brothers, who was a master piper, Ilan Piper. And he had been teaching some of the older boys, like in sixth and seventh grade, to play the Ilan pipes. But my brother Jack, they stayed in his head all that time. And he got finished with school and he was working and he got married. But the pipes were still in his head. And at that time, you could have counted the Ilan pipers in Ireland on your fingers. But on Saturday night on Radio Éireann, you'd have the Leo Rosum Quartet playing, and we never missed it. So Jack, I don't know where he got the money. He saved up the money, I think. And he got on to Leo Rosum, and he got a bellows bag and chanter from him and taught himself to play the Ilan pipes. He was a very good piper, actually, a war piper. And he was a good Ilan piper. And I would have been at the Ilan pipes as well. I played the war pipes as well. But I would have been at the Ilan pipes. But he stayed at home. I went to America. I got my hand hurt. I was only made a couple of months in the States when I got my hand all crushed. So to play, it was all right for playing the whistle, but to play the Ilan pipes, I couldn't keep the fingers apart far enough, for long enough. You know, they'd be all right for a minute, and then they'd start to slide because of the injuries to the fingers.
After all the years of Tommy Makem and the Clancy Brothers, and you now spend a lot of time on the road on your own, how do you find travelling now with and the audience reception? Given that it's a whole new generation.
I have had been blessed with great luck all my life. Never any let down in audiences. Busy. I left the Clancy Brothers in 1969 and I was on my own for till 1975, I think, doing solo stuff. Never hesitated for a minute. Lots of work. And then Liam and I met in Cleveland at a place called Pickle Bill's on a 4th of July weekend. There was a big sort of weekend on. And we both booked separately for it, so we decided we'd go up and sing a few of the old songs we used to do. So it was two stages, one inside and one outside. So I'd be outside and he'd be inside, and then we'd cross and I'd be inside and he'd be outside. And we stopped talking in the hall like the first day that we were there, and we decided to do a few of these old songs. So we went out and we got a 5-minute ovation before we sang a note. I wanted to quit right there. Maybe we should do a few of these gigs together. And my wife, Lord have mercy on her, booked us into a place called the Raven Gallery in Detroit. It was a little theater, sort of coffee house theater, folk music place. And we did that for a week. And we developed, maybe 3 or 4 hours of new material that we hadn't done with the brothers. And then we started taking gigs together. But that's where Makeham and Clancy got started.
Oh, my name is Dick Darby, I'm a cobbler. I served my time at the old camp. Some call me an owl agitator, but now I'm resolved to repent. With me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me roo-boo-boo-roo-boo-boo-randy, and me lapstone keeps bidding away. Now my father was hung for sheep stealing, my mother was burned for a witch, my sister's a dandy housekeeper, and I'm a mechanical switch. With me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me roo-boo-boo-roo-boo-boo-randy, and me lapstone keeps bidding away. This 40 long years I have travelled, all by the contents of me pack, me hammers, me awls, and me pincers, I carry them all on me back. With me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me roo-boo-boo-roo-boo-boo-randy, and me lapstone keeps bidding away. Now my wife, she's humpy, she's lumpy. My wife, she's the devil, she's cracked. And no matter what I may do with her, her tongue, it goes clickety-clack. With me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me roo-boo-boo-roo-boo-boo-randy, and me lapstone keeps bidding away. It was early one fine summer's morning, a little before it was day, I dipped her 3 times in the river, and carelessly bade her good day. With me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me inkling of an inkling of an idol, with me roo-boo-boo-roo-boo-boo-randy, and me lapstone keeps bitten away.
If you were to look back over all the music and all the experiences and all the people you've performed with and all the auditoriums you've been in, is there anything really, really special that stands out?
No, we played Carnegie Hall 2 times a year for 7 or 8 years. And we did the Royal Albert Hall in London and the Symphony Hall in Boston. And we were barred from Symphony Hall in Boston because it used to be jam-packed, but the fans, this is the 4 of us now, the fans would came up and left 6 packs of beer, covered nearly the whole stage. So Boston Symphony Hall in Boston they frowned on that. So we were banned from there. I also went out and toured in Australia and played the Sydney Opera House on my own two or three times. Well, I suppose the Carnegie Hall thing was great. All of the major, the Albert Hall was great as well.
And is there anything back in Ireland, anything special from, given that you spent so much of your career outside of Ireland, were there any really memorable times where you were invited back or were performed in Ireland that was particularly special?
Oh, well, we did our first tour in Ireland in 1963. Kieran McMahona, who was with RTE, was out in the States taping for his radio show fiddle players and pipers and accordion players and whistlers and so forth who had left Ireland in the 40s and 50s. And every house he went into, wherever he went, in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, there was LPs of these four jokers in white sweaters. So he noticed them a lot, and he took home an armful of them, started playing them on Radio Éireann, and they just skyrocketed. So we did a tour in 1963, and it was... We had no idea what kind of reception we'd get. We played the... Not the Gaiety, the other theatre in Dublin. But we played that, and we were doing it on a Sunday. Now, Radio Éireann had been playing all this stuff. We didn't know exactly what to... But we arrived, the theatre was jam-packed. They were sitting in the aisles, sitting on the stage, and there were... I would say 200 or 300 people outside in the rain that couldn't get in. So we were up in a window in a dressing room looking down, and they started to shout, "Sing, give us a bar of a song." So we sang three or four songs for them out through the window, and they all sang the songs along with us. Standing in the rain, it pouring rain. And then we went down and did the show in the theatre. And it was just sensational.
Tommy Makem, I don't want to take any more of your time because you've been very gracious to spend this time with me as is. I certainly enjoyed tonight, and I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me. It's been a real honour and a real pleasure.
Well, thank you, Anna. I think it was Walton's used to say, if you want to sing, do sing an Irish song. Don't be singing any of this crap that's supposed to be Irish music. I get fed up to the teeth that I have a great vengeance on them. They're doing terrible damage to Irish music and culture. So I just wanted everyone to know that, how I feel. And don't stand for any revisions. Don't stand for any lessening of our culture. This is your treasure, and you should appreciate it and promote it, and don't let anyone dilute it or tell you that it's less than it is. It's not less than anything. This is the epitome.
Tommy Makem, thank you very much indeed. You've been listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Kemmerton. I hope you enjoyed tonight's programme. It will be available as an archive on the website later in the week, and that is at thegaelichour.ca. If you want to send me an email, my email address is austin@thegaelichour.ca. I also mentioned that I was going to talk to you briefly about the Ottawa and District Labour Council, along with the Irish Society of National Capital Region, had celebrated a memorial commemoration earlier today down at the Ottawa Locks near the Bytown Museum. And that was for the Irish workers who had helped build the Rideau Canal. And don't forget, this year is the year that we're celebrating 175 years of the Rideau Canal. Do come back and join me tomorrow night when we will have another program with you. Actually, I'm not going to be here with you tomorrow night. Mary is going to be here with you tomorrow night, and she has a wonderful selection of music put together. Do come back and join her and the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. Until then, slán go fóill, iho a.